In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Football Monday continues. The Bills over the Bengals yesterday in the snow. 39-34. You know, that might be a question for Sal. I don't know. Is it interesting? So we were not at the game and Sal was on the field. And for most of the game, I would say you saw snow steadily, you know, flying by.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it on the field. How snowy was it really?
How much of an impact did it have on the game?
Yeah, maybe that can be a little bit of an illusion when you see that, because I'm not sure it was that much of a factor or that, much of an obstacle for players.
Guys, I would say it had very little impact on the game itself, other than the footing at some cases, like you saw Ty Johnson slip, right? It felt like he just couldn't completely get his footing on that early run. Mm-hmm. And then there were other times where you saw the choppiness of wide receivers on their routes. But I don't think it really – there's nothing coming out of this game where I think either team said, you know, if it wasn't for the weather, right, if it wasn't for the snow, something like that. And, like, look at all the points that were scored, right? So they generally say, and I agree with this, when you have a wet field, a snowy field, the advantage does go to the offense because they know where they're going. The defense doesn't. And I do think the Bills did a really good job of misdirection. I'm not saying it was because of that necessarily. I think in this game, that can help you a lot when you have some play action, some misdirection, because you're going to try and stop and start and go a certain way. You're a linebacker. You see something, you need to pivot. It's a little bit tougher for you. While it isn't as tough for the offensive player to know where he's going, just get to that spot. There was hardly any wind, and that's usually what can get you in a situation like that. So I would say it really didn't have much effect.
I had a hard time. This came up on post game last night, and there were a couple of times where, like, showing either coach on the sideline is really the shot I noticed it in. It looked like it might have been windier than I thought it was going to be, but I trust you that it wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be, so I was surprised by that. But the way the snow was on the screen, it looked like maybe it was a little tougher. So it was a pretty decent day overall, then, I would say, right?
Yeah, it was really cool, actually. I mean, you know, you say that now because of the result. It makes you feel a little better, I guess. But it was a pretty cool day, just to kind of see that picturesque view. And I think what happens there, Bulldog, is you know how this works inside that stadium. You've been there enough times mm-hmm. yourself to know that when that snow starts falling, because of the way the bowl is set up, kind of,
it
so
swirls
to speak,
around a little bit, even if it's
does,
not real windy.
And you can't, yeah, and you can't really tell, even when it's not that windy, but you get a gust and it kind of moves this way or that way. So it kind of starts moving around in different directions. So I thought overall, it was a good day for football. Really didn't impact these two quarterbacks. I mean, look at Joe Burrow, how effective he was. And, you know, lost in the Josh Allen incredible plays that were made. Dude was 79% completion percentage.
Right.
He was 22 of 28.
7 to receivers, again,
right,
if you want that.
Yeah.
But yes.
But, yeah, I mean, Sal, it's almost like, I think maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago when he was just emerging as this player that he's become fully formed, we might have spent 2 hours talking about the throw to Shakir for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it didn't come up last night on our show, and it hasn't come up yet today until I just said it. And it's like, I hate to cop to taking it for granted, but, you know, yep. It happens so often. That throw is ridiculous. It's not like the hardest degree of difficulty, I think, if you just watched it live. But, like, looking back at it, what he does is preposterous, I think.
Yeah, let me give you my my perspective on that play from my vantage point, actually. You know, as seen that play enough, it reminded me a lot of the Ravens week one game, actually, when he did the same thing on fourth down, it got tipped, and it was caught, right, by Keon Coleman. At that point, I think Josh knows he has to just throw the ball and make a play. It's fourth down, right? I mean, there's no living to fight another play. There's no throwing it out of bounds. You got to make a play. And when he threw the ball, I looked, and I'm telling you, in real time, Khalil Shakir was not turned around. Like, his head was not looking at the football. So I thought after he caught it, there's no way. Like, how did that happen? I went back and watched it. I put a screenshot of it up today. And I circled where the football was and showed where Khalil Shakir was. And sure enough, he was not looking at the football. And in fact, there was a defender between him and the football.
Right.
So Josh throws it. There is an argument to be made that Josh was trying to hit Tyrell Shavers in the back of the end zone. I don't know if he threw it hard enough or high enough. But certainly he was there and in that trajectory and in that window if Khalil Shakir is not there. Shakir then jumps in front of it. Just like in the week one, he's trying to hit Knox. Knox deflects it, and then it goes to Keon Coleman, right? Here, I think he was throwing it maybe to Shavers. I don't
right.
know.
I had noticed this.
Can't really tell.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, and give Shakir a lot of credit. The minute his head got around, that ball stuck to his chest, and he grabbed it. Like there's also a bit of an art to these receivers having to do that with Josh. Like they have to know when that at any moment that ball can be on you, whether you're looking or not looking, and you better be ready for it. And I think that's a part of this too when he makes plays like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're highlighting Shakir here. Maybe it's as great a play by him as much right. as I'm loving up the throw. And yeah, late hands, is that what they call it? Like in this case, Shakir didn't have his head around. So there was no needing to pretend, right? But you'll see guys, when the defender has their back turned, wait until the last moment to put their hands up, because obviously you put the hands up, that's a clue for the defender to try to, you know, get their hands in front of their hands and create a pass breakup. So, yeah, I guess great job all around then.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously it was a critical play in the game because a lot of them were, but it was just one of those plays all game where – you know, Josh had to be at his best. And I wrote today at Arrow Up, Arrow Down that, or last night, and today you can read it, but Josh Allen is the reigning MVP, and he played like the MVP yesterday. Like, that's how MVPs play. And when you are the best player in the sport, or arguably the best player in the sport, however you want to term it, those are the performances you need that separate you and your team from the other team. You know, this isn't Pee Wee or high school where the gap in talent from roster to roster can be massive. That's not the case in the NFL. You know where the gap is in talent in the NFL? It's at the top end of the one or two players that make a difference. And that's where a guy like Josh Allen can make a difference in a game like that, and he did yesterday.
So as much fun as we all had, 8:44 left. Cincinnati leads by 10 after the Gesicki touchdown. He had a big game for the Bengals. I mean, I already asked you about the snow. What was the crowd like in this game yesterday? Did it evoke for you memories of that playoff loss in the snow as well? I wonder what it sounded like in there with 8:44 left. And to that end, both Allen and McDermott early in their sessions last night made references to how the fans didn't leave, which was, for me, a little odd because normally they wouldn't, and it's a 1 o'clock game, unlike the opener, but it also sounded to me like maybe especially Allen has been carrying that around for 3 months.
It did to me, too, but, you know, I guess, hey, if that's what bothered him, that's what bothered him. But, you know, I think that they wanted to recognize the fact that, you know, it's not that the game is never over and you keep playing and, you know, they have a shot to win no matter what. So that being said, for me, yeah, the beginning of the game was, even for me, heck with the fans in the stands, I'm sure the same way, but it felt a lot like that playoff game a few years ago. I mean, it looked the same. The uniform colors were the same, right? Aesthetically, the snow was falling and bam, there go the Bengals right down the field and score. And there go the Bengals again, right down the field and score. Three straight touchdowns. It's 14-3 early. I went back and looked in that game against the Bills. It was 14-0, the playoff game. And then the Bills scored. It was 14-7. I mean, in this one is 14-3. Bills were actually down even further earlier in the game than they were in that game. And then it was 21-11. And then, of course, down 10 in the fourth quarter. But again, just like I felt in the Ravens game, this is not a great defense. You can make something happen here if you just get a stop. Just get a stop, and you never know. And it's a great lesson in just keep playing. Just keep playing because you're going to take some body blows, and they took a lot of them. But, man, if you just get that one stop, that one big play, you can turn things. And actually what it reminded me of a lot of ways, guys, was the Taron Johnson pick six against the Ravens when it's just that one play where you see something happen and the crowd just absolutely erupts because they have been waiting for something to happen. And now they're in the lead. And oh my God, what did I just watch? Are you kidding me? And that was a lot of, you know, what it was like on the field yesterday watching that game.
Allen up to 77 touchdowns, or is it even more than that after yesterday? I don't know. I just love looking at that list. Tony Dorsett, same number.
I think he had one yesterday, so 77, yeah, because 76 broke the record last week.
One behind Ricky Waters.
That's a stat for you. I'll give you another one I tweeted out today. AJ Epenesa is now the all-time franchise leader for defensive linemen in interceptions since the merger. He has four. No other defensive lineman since the merger has had more than four interceptions. AJ Epenesa does.
Oh, wow. For the Bills.
It's unbelievable. Ron McDowell does have six. He played. All of his were in the AFL. So, all time,
NFL,
count that.
Right.
He's second. But since the merger, it's incredible to think about.
Phil Hansen on that list somewhere?
He doesn't have four.
Doesn't have four. Right. Big one in the AFC Championship in Miami. Right. I remember Hansen for that. All right, Sal. So, let's talk, I guess, about injuries with there being some updates today. What did we get today?
Very encouraging news today. Not only did the Bills come out of this game with no new notable injuries, Sean McDermott actually said that he does believe there's a chance that Joey Bosa could play Sunday. He left the same door open for other players who've been dealing with injuries, saying they're all improving. Terrell Bernard, Joshua Palmer, and Spencer Brown. Now, Cole Bishop did leave the game yesterday. He was the only official injury update we got from the Bills sideline, at least. But he was cramping, and McDermott said he should be okay. So for a team that's been so banged up this year, obviously, and every week it seems like there's something else. You know, last week in Pittsburgh, Bosa was the only one. You got through the whole game until that happened,
yeah.
And that kind of stunk, obviously, and you missed him yesterday dearly. But in this game, you go through this game, and no new notable injuries, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, that is really great. And I'll be really curious to see, like, you know, moving into this last month, just how much of a slow play, if any, they will use on that stuff, you know, because they're secure. Really, Sunday is the big tell. Like, do they can stay alive for the division? And I think you should strive for that. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, don't rush Bosa. Because I know earlier in his career, before he was a Bill, there's a time where he had a hamstring and he kept playing and then he missed more time. And, you know, we joked around in the summer, put Bosa in bubble wrap until January. Well, we're to December. You know, you just want to make sure he's there, especially him, Sal, because, boy, when he's been hindered by the wrist and even without him on the field, it's the same story. They just have really not much juice at all getting to the passer with four without him on the field.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, I would say, though, they're not going to play him if he's not ready. You know, as much as it would be, hey, this is such a big game, we're still in the window here, we can do this. I just think that knowing the way this organization treats soft tissue injuries, knowing how Sean McDermott's talked about Joey Bosa, keeping him healthy, how important he is to this team going forward, the long game they've been playing.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Unless they're really sure that he'll be fine, they're not going to put him on the field.
Yeah.
And but so if he is on the field, I'm confident in saying that they only do that because they feel that he's ready to go and there's not going to be any sort of risk to further injury. And if that were the case, then I wonder if they held him back this week because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Like, hey, maybe he could have, but we didn't want to do that this week. We wanted him ready for the New England game. So we'll see where it goes for sure. The other encouraging note on the injuries was McDermott was specifically asked about Dalton Kincaid, and he said he came out of the game really good. All signs are good moving forward, and he was in a good space yesterday.
Yeah, and he I was worried about him, slippery field, knee injury on top of hamstring. And, I mean, I can't speak to how he felt out there, but he sure looked like he was moving well enough. You know, like he with the video we saw early last week with the big brace on the knee, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have a one-legged man limping around out there. Maybe he's just a decoy. The game opens and it's Knox, right? And Knox has this incredible game, but they used Kincaid like they mostly do, which is sparingly, but it was super effective when they did.
Yeah, he was only on the field for, let me grab the snap counts, 22 of 64 snaps. That's 34%.
I think it's 18 routes as well.
There you go. And Dawson Knox and Jackson Hawes pretty much split, at the top end of that tight end chart, 35 and 34 respectively, as far as snaps. He was wearing a brace under his pants. You could tell that under his pads. I'm not sure how big it was. It wasn't like super notable necessarily, but you could see it a little bit. And, you know, throughout the week, you see a certain brace, and then later in the week, you never know for a game.
Yep.
There's all different kinds of braces they can wear just to make sure that they're keeping everything stable and things like that. But I agree. He looked good running routes. Throwing him that bubble screen was interesting. He has to navigate through traffic a little bit there. So that was really interesting. And, you know, to keep him on the perimeter, though, was nice. So he doesn't have to take shots in the middle of the field. You know, all of the catches he made, other than the slant, was a one-on-one at the end zone. But then he had, you know, the bubble screen. He had the other one across the middle. He gets to the perimeter. He's out of bounds. So that's good to keep him, you know, upright like that. They didn't ask him to do a ton of blocking. That was more Hawes and Knox. But, guys, I mean, we said it all week. Tight ends, tight ends, tight ends, right?
Yep.
We said all week, this is a tight end game. Mike, to your point earlier about only seven, you know, catches to wide receivers, no doubt. Like, that's obviously a story. I don't think today is the day, though, to point to that because I think the game plan was just go to the tight ends as much as possible because this team can't defend them.
It's only ever the day to go to that when they lose, and then it's the only thing we go to.
Right.
No, nobody gets open. When they win, all right. They're running for 200 yards and stuff in games, and we still talk about it. But when they lose, it's definitely sirens.
Sal, not that it's our problem at all, but I don't know how aware you were of what was going on with T. Higgins in this game yesterday. But hearing word today that he's back in the concussion protocol, which is where he was last week leading up to this game, and hitting his head so severely early, and then again and again later, I could not believe he kept being allowed on the field.
Yeah, so let me tell you the perspective I had on this one, too. I mean, I was probably one of the five or six closest people on the planet to this play happening. If he doesn't catch the ball, I might catch it because it was right there, and I thought it was going to go over his head, and I might like have to reach my hands out. And I say that because that's how close it was and because I couldn't believe he caught it. It was a great catch, by the way.
Yep.
He caught the ball, but he landed out of bounds. And when he landed right in front of me, the sound his head made hitting the turf was really notable that everybody around me, staff members, there was a Fox Sports crew member there, there was a Bills sideline member, and we all looked at each other and went, oh, like, wow, like, geez. And then he stayed on the ground, and for a brief moment, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's not getting up. And then he started to get up, like, okay, and he sat up. And what was really the first sign of, okay, something's really wrong here, he pointed to his head.
Yeah.
He pointed to his head. And that's when they stopped the game. So this was not a case where, to my knowledge, it was a spotter from up top saying, you got to take the guy out. I mean, he was on the ground. When you're on the ground and you're not getting back up, trainers come out. That's
the
way the protocol
tent.
Is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, I'm bringing trainers over. So they went to do that. The trainers came over and spoke to him. He got up. he walked over with them. As you guys saw, he went into the blue tent. Now, we're all anticipating, okay, he's out with a head injury. This is a guy, and immediately we're all talking about how he just came out of protocol, right? All of us on the sidelines are like, yeah, this guy just came out of protocol. That really sounded bad. It looked bad. You know, that's a terrible situation. He's probably done for the game. All of a sudden, not long later, oh, there's T. Higgins with a helmet on the sidelines. He's ready to go back in. Okay. Well, I guess he cleared protocol. And then later in the game, same thing kind of happens in the middle of the field. He catches the ball, gets up, same thing, and he continued to play. I said this morning with Jeremy and Joe, I said, I would not be surprised at all if we hear later today that he's in the protocol again, because that's what happened with Deion Dawkins when he went back in the game.
Right.
And then the next
day,
they said, you know what? He went back in the game, he was cleared, and then symptoms showed up, and he got put in the protocol. Well, guess what? That's what happened today.
I don't trust any of it. I just, who knows what's going on in there? The way that players pick other teammates up off the field as fast as they can to avoid the appearance of there being any sort of symptoms, I just don't trust any of it. Remember the sound bulldog and Sal that Marty McFly's head makes when it hits the pavement after he falls from that tree in Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Cringe-worthy sound. Mm-hmm. That is a cringe-worthy sound. The head on the
I honestly, guys, here's what I kind of compared it to for me was when, you know, we all grew up in a time period of hockey fights were the norm, and you watch the hockey fight videos and all of that. But then you get a little older and you realize, you know, what's happening there, and you understand, you're a little more educated on it. Then you go to a game, and when you watch a fight and a guy gets punched in the face really hard, and you're like, oh, man, I just can't believe I just saw that. That's terrible. And, like, that's how I felt on that play, to be quite
honest
with you.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being ready to go on that. I didn't hear you this morning, so I didn't know that it had come up. But and I also didn't know that you were right on the scene. It would make sense. It was right on the Bills' sideline. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That, you know, hope the best for him, because that's, you know, week over week. And to have multiple, you know, incidences of hitting his head yesterday, man, I just hope for the best.
We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Okay, guys, you got it. Thanks.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Unless the Bills make a trade tomorrow, then maybe we'll bug Sal.
I think if I remember right, last week we found out that you can't make trades anymore.
No more trades this year. That's right. The deadline has passed. I mean, do you trust the concussion thing at all?
It's hard to say yes after what we watched yesterday. You know,
I feel like that's most games.
I think it's really tough. It's hard to find. I feel like I want to point out examples when it does happen. Hairston left the Houston game and never came back. Like, he went to the tent and went to the locker room and didn't come back. Higgins yesterday went to the locker room but then came back out.
I think probably you have to be in really bad shape to get ruled out, because the players want to play,
of course,
and the team wants them to. So I don't know. I just don't trust it. Benford in the playoffs. Benford, didn't he get a concussion against the Ravens?
Yes.
And then played against Kansas City and got another one?
With a concussion. Right.
Like, it would make sense. I hate to be cynical about it, but players want to play. The team wants them out there. Think about what Benford's absence meant in that game. But he got another concussion. Taron Johnson has had several. And, you know, doesn't have to be that he has to retire or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but everybody's incentive, except in theory the league's, is for the player to sit. And I think we know the seriousness of it is such that if it really were about safety, the players would be gone for a long time when they had a concussion.
Right.
Like, they'd be out games, I think. I mean, safety's supposed to be the point, isn't it? But it's not. I mean, it's nice to say that it is. Guys are going to play. It's a violent sport. And it's never, to me, surprising when you have something that looks suspicious like this, because I just don't feel like the league really wants that badly to sit players down when they have symptoms. I think they simply want you to think that they do.
They want the appearance of being diligent about it, for sure.
And I don't think they really have that benefit of the doubt. We settle for that as the explanation, but then this is the kind of thing that should probably never happen if it really is buttoned up.
Right.
Because it should have been obvious, and it just should have been an easy one. Again, like, I'm not in the tent, though.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on in that tent? Count to five?
Yeah, I don't know. It really, you know, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it made me uncomfortable watching the game. Like, he's a super important player for them, and that, you know, but just in general, it could have been a lineman, could have been anybody. It's like, wow, we're really doing this?
I trust the league in this area as much as I trust them when they tell us that Space Ref can't rule on penalties. Because, of course, they do all the time. You even had an announcer in two Bills games ago announce the penalty, then take it back during the announcement. We got to go to a break here, but like when this happens, and it happens, it seems like in almost every game. Last night in Kansas City, there is no foul. All right. Well, there was a flag down. Somebody called a penalty. We don't get to see it. There's no replay of it. There's no explanation for why it didn't stand. It just sort of disappeared. Because if you have too many penalties, announcers are going to harp on that. Hey, maybe this one, we just won't worry about this one. We'll just let it slide. Don't you think it works like that? 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Monday on WGR.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.